From listener-supported KTOO, welcome to Juno Afternoon, broadcasting live from the homelands of the Occoquan and on demand as a podcast. It's a windy Wednesday, November 20th, 2024. I'm your host, Boston Christopher, Gunathchi Shawa, Toyaksik Newsom, Salamat. Thank you for joining the conversation. Today we talk with conductor-composer Todd Hunt about this weekend's Orpheus Project concert, Continuum, The Path, featuring a new piece featuring singers, crystal bowls, and a harp. Local group Trail Mix is here to share about their great year, future plans, and shares a preview of their auction and dinner happening this Saturday. And the holiday season is upon us, and it's a wonderful opportunity to give back. St. Vincent de Paul's delivers over 400 food baskets this Saturday. We'll find out how you can participate. Those conversations, plus Tongass Voices and more, this hour on Juno Afternoon.
Hansen Gress, Ka eat with the shu yi, we kashuk a yi tin. Jin kat ka ke jin ta khanakaya ha anikak, gunish cheesh.
You're listening to KTOO's Tlingit Word of the Week. This week's word comes from Kakwan Ish George Davis. And the word this week is atcha.
Atcha.
That means food. And here's a sentence. He bought food from the store. Let's hear it again.
Atcha.
Food. Gunesh Chish to Hune Lance Twitchell, Gold Belt Heritage Foundation, and the University of Alaska Southeast for this audio.
Kakwan Ish George Davis was Takdain Tan and the child of a Tsagwedi man. He grew up in Qiq, Cake, Alaska, and learned to speak well because he would always bring traditional foods to the elders there. As someone who fished a lot and spent time on the land, he knew Tlingit place names all over the area, and he learned many stories and advanced ways of speaking.
And tune in next week for another Tlingit Word of the Week from KTOO.
You are listening to Community Supported Juno Afternoon on KTOO at 104.3 Juno, 91.7 Juno Auk Bay, and online at ktoo.org. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. That's a little dance that's going to, some dance music that's going to be playing this weekend. We'll get to that when we talk to Todd here in a second. Orpheus Project is a local music group headed by W. Todd Hunt, conductor and composer, and each year they produce a show in their Continuum series. This year it's called The Long Path. Todd presents a new composition of a song along with music from Arvo Pärt. Which we will also, I got it, right?
Yeah.
I got it.
Oh, that was great.
And then also some, it's 11th Renaissance and Medieval Dances, mm-hmm. which is, we were just hearing one from like an anonymous composer.
Right.
We're hearing it here
exactly.
A little bit more.
Yeah.
And that's going to be part of the concert this weekend. It's going to be this Saturday, November 23rd, with two shows at Holy Trinity Church. Get more info at orpheusproject.org. And welcome into the studio, Todd Hunt, along with fellow musician Sarah Cleary. And hopefully we'll be joined by Paul Shipper here in mere moments.
Oh, of course.
So we'll see. Anyway, Gunathchi, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to have you here today.
Yeah, great to be here.
Wasa Iti, how's it going?
Oh, great. Yeah, we're really looking forward to this concert this weekend.
I know. I can't wait to get into it. But I do have to say that Sarah Cleary is down from Anchorage, am I right?
Yeah.
And Sarah, I know from many, many, many moons ago. We were just talking before we went on air. I don't think I've seen you in 16 years or so, 17 years. And I saw your name on the list, and I was like, that can't be the Sarah Cleary that I know.
It
but it is, and you play the harp, and you're going to be playing the harp this weekend along with Todd.
Yeah.
So how did you both get to know each other?
Well, do you want to?
Sure. it was 2016, I guess, and Todd was bringing Perseverance's production of Sweeney Todd to Anchorage.
Okay.
And needed a pianist, and somebody connected us, and he sent me an email, said, hey, got this show going on, I need somebody to play, are you in?
It was that easy.
So, yeah. And I was like, sure. This sounds great.
Hey,
I love
hubby,
the show.
Take care of the three kids. I'm out of here,
right? Pretty much how it went.
Yeah. Well, cool. So, welcome to Juno. Is this your first time to Juno?
I came for the first time in September. So
September.
First time this year being in Juno.
Wow. Yeah. Well, you are here on a windy and blustery day.
Yeah,
this
is exciting.
Unbelievable
it is.
Today. Feels like the building's going to come down.
It literally stopped me in my tracks earlier.
I bet. Okay, so Todd, remind folks about the Orpheus Project and the Continuum series. I love the definition of continuum, which is a continuous sequence in which adjacent elements are not perceptibly different from each other, although the extremes are quite distinct. Tell us a little bit about that.
So this is, I mean, it's an idea I had, I mean, certainly inspired by some other things, you know, in the air and maybe other concerts I had heard about or seen. But finding a way to connect these two ends of our musical continuum, like generally speaking, like medieval as being more or less the earliest, you know, 1,000 years ago or more, and the music of today, and putting those together and seeing kind of some of the similarities and the obvious differences between them, which I find really fascinating. And also in Juno, it's like the two things that are, I feel, are fairly underrepresented, early music and new music. So that's, I'm able to, on pretty much every continuum concert, I'll have to think about that, but actually have somebody write a piece, sometimes that's me in this this particular concert, have somebody write a piece specifically for this, thereby expanding the rep and, doing some extra
when
good
you,
in the world.
So when you're thinking about picking the program, you're looking at, so do you find, like in this case, did you find some of these older pieces from Arvo Pärt?
So Arvo Pärt is a contemporary composer.
Oh, he's a contemporary composer.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So you're taking the medieval dances then and the Renaissance dances music.
Right.
And did you decide that you wanted to hear some of that and that inspired your new composition?
So in some ways, sometimes I come up with the idea of what the concert is first and then find pieces to fit it, like the very first continuum concert we did, where I really wanted to show some of these really wacky early music things that are sometimes as hard to tell from really wacky new music, and put those together. And a lot of them are about contrast too. And this one's a little bit more about contrast because all of the contemporary works in here have some sort of connection with peace and love and joy, and then juxtaposing that with the freedom and joy, I guess, of dance and having fun.
So when you're like, are you playing on all of it, Sarah?
Yeah, actually.
She's like, yeah, actually.
Okay,
yeah.
So when you're rehearsing this, and you're discovering, so you're playing this older music, but then you're playing the newer music, and Arvo Pärt is a contemporary, as you said. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's good to see. That's exposure, right?
Yeah,
it's learning new people that you hadn't heard of before. So do you see in the music, like on the harp specifically, I know you're also playing the hurdy-gurdy in this concert as well,
randomly,
right?
Yes.
but in the, which we all love the hurdy-gurdy, but in the harp, like, do you see what are the similarities and differences that you see from, let's say, the older music to the newer music in terms of like how you attack it or how you rehearse it?
Yeah, that's a really good question. In this particular case, for me, the biggest difference is the medieval music is almost entirely improvised. And then the contemporary music is all written down for me. So Todd has scored his piece for the harp, and there's very specific things that I need to do. But with the medieval music, you know, all we have are melodies. There's no chords written down for us. There's no arrangements made for our very specific instrumental, you know, makeup of the four of us that we've got together. So part of the fun is that we've spent the week arranging these tunes, like who's going to play the melody, who's going to play chords or rhythm and behind it. What does that look like? Especially for the harp, which can be a melody or a rhythm instrument, can accompany, can play a lead. So that's it's a very different sort of creative process for me. One is kind of building the whole thing kind of from the beginning, and the other is the creativity of interpretation.
So like the piece we were hearing, you said, is sort of an anonymous kind of composed kind of idea from that time. So is it really in that way? Is it sort of like, I mean, I think of jazz in some way. Like, are you able to just sort of riff off of the melody as you are rehearsing? And then through that, you're discovering what you will finally play on Saturday?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. It's actually very much like jazz. We get, you know, just like in jazz, we get what we call a lead sheet. You know, it's just got the tune. And actually, well, in jazz, it has chords as well. This doesn't even have chords. So we kind of have to figure out what sounds best or works best. And sometimes that changes as well.
So describe for me what the difference between a melody and a chord is.
Okay. So a melody is like the tune.
Okay.
So, Mary had a little lamb.
Good. One we don't have to pay rights
for. Right.
So, we've got...
So, it's just da-da-da-da-da-da-da, right?
That's the melody.
The things we get stuck in our heads sometimes, right, when we're listening to a song?
Okay. Exactly. And then the chords are kind of the harmonic color that happens
The other notes that go along well with the notes in the melody.
Yeah.
Like, usually.
I see. So can chords be not part of the melody?
Or
they are they in
or, they can.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
A chord, but strictly by definition, is just any three notes that you happen to put together.
Yeah. I see. Okay.
And if those three notes, well, you might pick those three notes that work well with your melody.
I see.
You know, if you're going in that direction. I mean, that's a big topic.
We could get really music theory nerdy here if you wanted to.
Why not?
You don't have any other guests, right?
I just love it because it's such an interesting way to think, right? Because you have to be thinking in maybe a different way. I know I've heard also that music is math and all these kind of different things. So. And so it's numbers, and it's the amount of time you're playing a particular note, and it makes everything so different. But that's like the, because in this continuum series, you're looking at those similarities and differences between that distance of time, right?
And actually, and that's something that the audience might not necessarily be able to tell what we're doing. You know, with that is that what they hear is like, well, that's what the music is, but the piece, the dance that you played coming out, ours sounds completely different. It's the same tune, but the texture's different. The tempo's about the same, I think.
But we have different instruments.
We have different instruments, and we do it in a different way.
Wow, okay. So now you are premiering a new piece.
Oh, yes.
This Saturday.
I am.
That you composed. So not just conducting. Of course, Juno knows you as an amazing conductor in so many different organizations, but you also compose music all the time. So tell us about this piece and how you were inspired to write this song.
No, totally. So this piece is for three voices, three female voices, crystal bowls and harp.
So how do you get there?
So, well, it started off with my wife, Kristen Mabry. She's been asking me for like more than a year probably to write something for crystal bowls and voice.
Okay.
And
crystal bowl, like a crystal bowl.
Like,
is that an instrument or are we talking about an actual crystal bowl?
So there is a like bowls made of crystal that like have different pitches. And you strike them or swirl them to give a longer tone.
Like you do with your wine glass.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, they're specialized.
Sweet.
You know, kind of
I
things.
Love it. This
all
is
made
awesome.
Of different, like, crystals. And
and we have those in Juno?
Yeah, well, yeah. Kristen's bought a whole set of them. She won't tell me how much she spent.
She's like, just write something.
Just write something. I'm like, yes, dear.
Yeah.
And I thought that a harp would go beautifully with this, and sort of tying all of the melodicness of the singers with the kind of just texture and sound of
the bowls are very atmospheric.
Very atmospheric. Right. So yeah, the harp sort of gives cool. it. And I think they work really well together.
Now, I imagine that in the Holy Trinity Church that mm-hmm. this is going to sound unreal.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
With the crystal bowls, the harp. Mm-hmm. And then what other instruments will be? Well, you have three voices. Tell us who the other voices
are. Oh, yeah. So we've got Marion Call, Skiba Wati, and Christina Pollack.
Wow.
The three singers. Yeah. Okay. So
and then Kristen will be playing the bowls.
And you're right. Kristen's playing the bowls.
And Sarah will be on the harp. Okay, mm-hmm. great. Yeah. And then what's Paul doing in this concert?
Oh, right. So he is playing percussion in the medieval band, as we call it.
I see. Okay, that's so cool.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's great. And we've also have Rick Trostel is playing recorders as well as I am.
Okay.
We are both playing recorders.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So, Sarah, what's the experience been like to be down here in Juneau rehearsing? How long have you been here?
Since Sunday.
Okay.
And I leave again on Sunday.
And you leave right after the concert, mm-hmm. yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. It's been fantastic. I mean, I'm a very busy, like, working musician in Anchorage, so I have projects going all the time. Mm-hmm. But I also have loads of other responsibilities. Like, you know, I've got three children and piano students and, you know, the house and all that stuff. So it's a very, really novel and fun experience mm-hmm. to be somewhere where my only job is to be prepared for this concert.
Yeah.
And that's what I get to focus on.
Yeah.
And I can kind of just shut out the rest of life for a while. And
that's nice, right?
Yeah, it's kind of amazing. It's,
yeah. And how have you found working with the musicians and the singers and all that here?
Fun.
Yeah.
Love it. Yeah, we had our first rehearsal on Tuesday, I guess it was.
Monday.
Was it Monday? Yeah, they've kind of run together, but yeah.
When you only have the one thing to do, you just do it all the time.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so great. Well, it's so great to have you here in Juneau and working on this concert and the harp. Is it do you call yourself a harpist?
You know, I'm entirely self-taught, so I feel like the word harpist is a bit fancy for me. But
you play the harp.
A bit la-di-da.
Well,
yes.
That's so fun. Well, it's the Orpheus Project. It's happening this Saturday. It's going to be two shows.
Yes.
You got one in the afternoon and one in the evening.
Yeah, 2:00 and 7:00.
Okay, 2:00 and 7:00 at Holy Trinity Church. And are tickets available at Orpheus Project, or do we get them through the Jack, or how do we get them?
Yeah, you go to orpheusproject.org. That's Orpheus Project.org. And you can get them there, and it's $5 more at the door. What is it, like 20 general, 15 seniors, and 5 for students? At the door, it'll be 25 general, 20 for seniors, and then still $5 for students.
Awesome.
But, yeah.
That's so great.
Yeah.
And it's going to be and tell us a little bit about, real quick, what you're going to be playing from Arvo Pärt.
Oh, so that is so this is actually a very touching sort of piece. And we're opening the program with this. It's called Da Pacem Domine. And it is a piece for four voices that was written kind of in response to the 2004 Madrid train bombings. And so it's a prayer for peace.
Oh,
and
that's
kind
cool.
of the, you know, one of the arching
themes
of the concert.
I love it. It's a new piece by Todd. It's mm-hmm. Arvo Pärt, and it's going to be some Renaissance and medieval dances that are sort of they've put together. That's going to be so cool. What a fun concert.
Yeah.
2:00 and 7:00 on Saturday at the Holy Trinity Church, and you can get tickets at orpheusproject.org.
Or the door.
Or the door.
Yeah.
Just
unless
show up.
We sell out.
Well, you might.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so
you might.
Get your tickets early.
And sorry we missed Paul. It's too bad. But you know what?
Fine.
You just got to go see him on Saturday.
That's right.
That's great.
Lots of fun.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for coming in.
Yeah,
thank you.
And OrpheusProject.org for all the information. Sarah, it was great to see you.
Thank you. Good to see you
Pleasure.
Again.
Okay. Thank you. And now this week's Tongass Voices, perspectives from the homelands of the Occoquan and beyond. Last week, Tongass Voices featured master carver Wayne Price, who is currently carving a dugout canoe, or yauk, in Juneau. Today we're hearing from one of the apprentices working alongside him. Skaidu U. Jules first started learning from Price in Angoon a few years ago. They were working on the first dugout to be carved there since the village was bombarded in 1882. Jules is from Teslin in the Yukon. She now lives in Juneau, where she's training to become a Thlinkit language teacher and hopes to one day carve a canoe solely speaking Thlinkit. Price says it's amazing to hear her bringing language back to the practice of carving.
They call me Skaidu U, and I'm a carving apprentice under Wayne Price.
And he says, I'm the language person.
The last project in Angoon was shorter spurts here and there when I could go over and volunteer my time. And then ever since then, Wayne has said, because I had the experience to go on a few journeys with him, like across the Salish Sea and through tribal journey, that it was time to do a dugout from bark to boat launch, which is the whole process from the log and being able to see it all through. And so this experience has been really full and like holistic, with so many of the teachings that I never learned from doing the whole process last time. I was brought into carving probably by Wayne mostly. Yeah, when I came here, I moved here to go to school and learn Thlinkit at University of Alaska Southeast and learned a lot from Heather Burge and Hune Lance Twitchell. And from there, I had the experience to take a few carving classes and then a domino effect and to really starting in these bigger healing projects with Wayne as my teacher, mentor, my uncle in Thlinkit way. So it's been a really amazing experience and really like healing to a lot of my spirit being here. It's really hard to describe, but it can really feel like a sense of really putting the community above the individual. Like when you come here, you're a part of a family and not just the people who are here on this earth, but our Hashuka, are the ones who came before us. And we're doing this for our future generation of people, so they have this teaching and we could pass on this teaching and learn this knowledge from Wayne. So being able to practice this and all of these chips represent a lot of our people who are struggling from drugs and alcohol and mental health. And to be able to be a part of something like this is just really makes the heart full. Because I know that from my own experience, it has done a lot for me and has saved my life in a lot of ways. I'm actually going to school to be a Thlinkit language teacher, and it's a big part of my goal to do land-based teaching. So what that'll look like is, you know, eventually bringing a bunch of people out and doing this all in the language. So it'll be a few years till that happens, but I'll be done school this year, and then we're working on translating a lot of this knowledge into Thlinkit so we could start teaching our younger generations. The invitation is that it's not like a closed off group. Like we're always welcome to share these teachings of the healing powers of dugouts, and Wayne invites, you know, everyone, if they have somebody who's struggling or they know somebody that really needs help, that they can come write their family member's name down on a wood chip. And then when we do our ceremony of steaming open the dugout, we'll be burning those wood chips in honor of all those people who need that extra support and this healing energy.
That was carving apprentice Skaidu U, Jules, on bringing Thlinkit language back into other traditional practices. This is Juneau Afternoon on KTOO.
Support for Juneau Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juneau with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juneau. More at heritagecoffee.com.
This is Juneau Afternoon. From your listener-supported public media station, KTOO, I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Trail Mix is a nonprofit dedicated to developing and maintaining the Juneau Trail system. And this Saturday, November 23rd, they are producing their annual auction and dinner, which is already sold out. This group had many milestones in 2024 and is looking forward to even more success in 2025. Joining me now to chat more about all the things on trails is Executive Director Megan Tabachek. Welcome, Megan. Thank you so much for being here. How's it going?
It is going so great. I mean, we're in the midst of auction planning and getting all the final donations in, so it's very busy and starting to look ahead for next year, but everything's going great.
Yeah, so you already sold out, and that's great because it's a wonderful... Is it one of your biggest fundraisers?
This is our biggest fundraiser. It actually supports about 30% of our operational budget. So we couldn't exist without this auction. And so we're really, really thankful for all the people who donated to the auction and all who are planning to attend on Saturday.
Well, and if you can't get there or if you didn't get a ticket, you can always go to trailmixinc.org and make a donation that way.
Yeah.
Or become a member. Can you become a member of
Trail
Mix?
Yeah, you can become a member of Trail Mix. It's a year-long membership. There's all sorts of different levels, and you get amazing discounts at Foggy, Cycle Alaska, and NAO.
I see. Okay.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about a little bit of the milestones from this year, but first I just want to ask about Trail Mix itself, because it's interesting. It's a nonprofit, right? And its goal is to keep up to date and work on all the trails here in Juneau, which Juneau is known for its trails, and you all do amazing work. And you collaborate with the city sometimes, right, on different projects?
Yeah, so the city is one of our long-term partners. I think they've partnered with us every single year of our 31 years of existence. But we also work with the Forest Service, State Parks. Those are like our agency partners. And we have all sorts of other community partnerships. One I'm really excited about right now is we're working with Sea Alaska on an indigenous signage project. So that's a really cool partnership, too, that we do.
I see. That's cool. And what would the trails and these areas be like without Trail Mix?
Oh, boy. I mean, go on Breadline Bluff Trail, and I guess you'll see. So, you know, here in Juneau, because we are blessed with so much rain, our trails face a lot more damage than trails that you would go on, say, in California or Utah. In a lot of places in the lower 48, you build a trail, and it's good for the next 20, 30, even 50 years. Here in Juneau, our trails, because of the erosion and the weather conditions, kind of wash away pretty rapidly. So each year we've kind of ramped up our efforts, and this past 2-3 seasons we've had 4 crews, which is 25 trail workers working for us each summer. And because of that, we've been able to do a lot more work on our trails. But without us, our trails would be looking rough, and there still are a lot that need a lot of love.
Because it would fall to like Parks and Rec or something, right? To try to keep all of these things maintained, and that would just be probably overwhelming and very governmental, but with a nonprofit, you're able to sort of get in there, make the work happen, and also provide additional jobs and support for folks.
Yeah, and one of the reasons, really the main reason why Trail Mix exists is in 1992, there was a master trails planning done by the city, Forest Service, State Parks, and all sorts of different agencies, and we realized that trails have these kind of invisible lines. So if you're hiking on Treadwell Ditch, you're on city property, and then you cross this invisible line, and now you're on Forest Service managed land. And some of these trails were being maintained to different standards, and you wouldn't know that as a hiker. You would just know that all of a sudden the trail is different one step from the next. So Trail Mix really comes in, and we foster collaboration, and we help kind of be this middleman in between, and we set one standard for the trail.
I love that. It kind of reminds me of like when you're on a road, and then you get to the end of a road, and it says no longer state maintained anymore, and then it becomes like, you know, rocks and gravel, and you're like, wait, what happened to the road?
We need a road mix.
Yeah, we need a road mix. That's true. I know that happens in all around the country, but so Juneau is very lucky to have an organization like Trail Mix, which I think is fantastic.
Yeah, I'm lucky to work at Trail Mix. I love it.
Yeah, congratulations. I know you were recently this spring named the executive director.
Yeah, it's really exciting. It's an exciting time to be at Trail Mix. You know, I've been around for the past 5 years, and it's cool just making things happen.
Well, congratulations on
Thank
you. So let's talk a little bit about 2024 before we look ahead a little bit. So you said you had 25 crew members. And what did you all do this year?
Oh, what did we not do?
What did you not do, right?
So most notably, we had a phenomenal season on the Treadwell Ditch Trail. We installed a 55-foot bridge, which is a big one up there. And that was the final bridge we needed to install to make it fully connected without having to scramble down, up, in, and out of gullies. So now you can have a nice, pleasant, long walk, bike ride, run all the way across the Treadwell Ditch Trail with minimal interruptions. So that was a huge task, and we've been working on the Treadwell Ditch pretty much our whole 30-year history. so it's exciting to see that project kind of coming towards a little bit of an end. There's always going to be some maintenance work, but that was really exciting. We also kicked off a big project with the Forest Service on the Amalga Trail, which goes out to Eagle Glacier Cabin, and that's notoriously a pretty tough trek. So we started pretty much right at the trailhead, and we're working our way over the next couple years all the way back to the cabin and making the trail wider, a little less steeper, a lot less rooty and rocky, and just making some big improvements to that trail.
What are the challenges when you're working on these trails with the rain and the different, and how does the land, it must change constantly.
Yeah, it's really interesting because building a trail out here, you know, by Perseverance, we've been working on this trail called the Christopher Trail by the Flume. And that's completely different than when we go out to the road to Peterson. And a lot of it, you know, kind of depends on what kind of infrastructure, whether it was mining or logging, things like that. That'll impact what the soil does and what the dirt does. And obviously, if we're closer to the ocean or rivers and creeks, we have to deal with a lot more erosion. But one of our biggest challenges is Juno for, you know, all of our connectivity to different trails and the fact that you can drive to a trailhead within 5-10 minutes, it's tough to get materials out. I want to say thank you to Coastal and Temsco because they really help us out. But it's logistically a challenge getting gravel and pressure-treated wood and all these different materials to build a trail all the way out the road, you know, 30, 40 miles out the road.
I love how passionate Trail Mix is.
Yeah.
Your leadership seems passionate. Trail Mix itself seems passionate. How did you get, where did your love for the outdoors come from?
Yeah, I grew up going outside. I was a summer camp kid. I loved going outside and running around in the woods. And then I moved to Juno for what was supposed to be only a one-year exchange at University of Alaska Southeast for the Outdoor Studies program.
Happens to many of us.
Happens to so many. I think I know at least five of us in my friend group. But I just fell in love with the trails, and I joined Trail Mix in 2020 as a crew member when I no longer could work my summer guiding job because pandemic. And then I became a crew member, and I just thought it was so cool. And then I wanted to learn more, so I begged for an internship, became an intern, and then I just never left. and now here I am.
And look at
the director.
You now. You're running the thing.
But I think it's really cool because kind of a philosophy that we adopted at Trail Mix is that you can hire great crew workers and people with a lot of trail mix or trail experience, but maybe they're not the best people. So we shifted our philosophy and we just hire good people because good people can learn how to be good trail workers, but you can't teach everyone how to be a good person. And because we do that, we get to work with amazing people every single summer. It's no experience required to join Trail Mix as a crew member. So really just a lot of people join this job not knowing, you know, whether they want a career in environmental work or whether they just want a fun summer job. And so it's a really fun melting pot.
Yeah, and you're going to be looking for people here really soon, right?
Yeah, super soon. We're going to start our hiring season a little bit earlier than we normally do. So if you're looking for a fun summer job, starting next week, we're going to start posting all about our jobs that are available. And so we hire out crew members and crew leads, and you work on the ground, on the trail, all summer. It's about a 20-week season starting in May, goes till September, and you work 4/10, so you get guaranteed 3-day weekends every single weekend, which
nice.
I think is a pretty nice perk. And you get to work with some really awesome people.
Yeah, because you're hiring good people.
Yeah, exactly.
That's so cool. And so what do you have lined up for next year? What are you going to be looking at trying to maintain or fix or project-wise?
Yeah, so we're going to continue our work on the trail out to Eagle Glacier Cabin. We're also working on the Peterson Lake Trail, just chipping away at that. There's a lot of rooty and muddy sections that we've just been working on. So last summer, we completed the first mile and a half of the trail, and so we're just going to keep building off that progress next year. One project I'm super excited about is the Christopher Trail. And so the Christopher Trail will connect the Flume up to down to Cope Park. And so we're working with the city. There was a bridge I'm sure many of you have heard, the Cax Trail, the Brotherhood Bridge Trail. They just installed that brand new beautiful wood bridge. And so what they did is the old bridge was actually still in great shape. So we picked it up and we moved it and we're putting it in Cope Park. So there's going to be a new bridge in Cope Park that crosses over to the Christopher Trail.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So then you'll be able to go, you know, hang out in the park, hike up, get on the Flume. And eventually in the long term, there'll be a trail that runs parallel to the Flume and connects you all the way back into Perseverance.
Wow.
Yeah.
They're going to be all interconnected.
Yeah, because one of the, you know, totally makes sense, but you can't ride your bike on the Flume. And so our goal is to have this trail that runs parallel above the Flume so that bike riders, you know, could realistically rent a bike at Cycle Alaska or take their bike from their house downtown and go to Cope Park, go up the Christopher Trail, and then go all the way back into Perseverance. And we've worked with Juneau Mountain Bike Alliance on this, you know, making sure we get the corners not too sharp and things like that, so it is biker friendly.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
That is awesome. Well, congratulations on selling out the dinner and auction coming this Saturday, November 23rd. And of course, all the great work that you did this year. You're looking for crew members. You're going to be starting to look next week. And so if you know people who are coming up to Juneau or who want to come up to Juneau, let them know about Trail Mix and that there's a possibility. Because what happens is it seems like you get a job at Trail Mix and then you just live in Juneau forever.
Yeah, you know, it actually, one of my favorite stats that we started, you know, measuring is we brought up 5 crew members from out of state this year who moved up just for a seasonal job. And out of those 5, 4 of them decided to continue living in Juneau, got winter jobs or year-round full-time jobs, and have moved here and made this place their home. So it's really cool.
Yeah, that's great. Trail Mix is doing such great work. Thank you, Megan, for being here today and telling us all about it. You can find out more about Trail Mix at trailmixinc.org. You can become a member. You can find out about all the things that they're working on and all the great programs that they have, and let people know that there might be some jobs in their future working at Trail Mix. Thanks so much, Megan, for being here today. I really appreciate
it. Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, Gunnath Cheesh. Up next, the holidays are upon us, and first up is the November Feast, and St. Vincent de Paul's is working hard to create over 400 food baskets for those in need. You can help. We will find out how next on Juno Afternoon from KTOO, but first, a savory moment.
Step in to the savory moment. Gift giving. Some people are naturally good at it, with a knack for pairing people and presents that yields a genuine gush of oohs and ahs and the unmatched glow of feeling seen and appreciated. For everyone else, there is head scratching. That's where specialty ingredients and a recipe pairing come in. Keep a stash in your refrigerator or pantry, along with clouds of tissue paper and colorful gift bags. Gift Idea 1, a curated collection of dried chilies from the Mexican grocery. Include cascabels, a cherry-shaped fruit with a low heat profile and a nutty flavor. Big, hearty pasillas with hints of raisin and smoke and a medium heat are always a hit. And a little package of ruby red de arbol chilies, hot, hot earth, in a diminutive banana shape. Include your favorite brownie recipe for spicing up. For the adventurous giftie, a tub of Pakistani mixed pickle. Nubbins of mostly unidentifiable bits and pieces guaranteed to knock socks off. Chewy carrot strips, knobs of dried lime, sour mango snippets, slender green chilies, all stirred into a thick brown paste. Include your favorite dal or pilaf recipe. Finally, all the way from Klawak, Alaska, Wildfish Cannery smoked herring. The shiny gold lettering on the label makes for classy gift giving, but pair this regional delicacy with a recipe for smoked Alaska Caesar. The herring is a clever substitute for anchovies in the salad, and you're ready for a party. Aww. Find the full recipe for Wild Fish Cannery Smoked Alaska Caesar at savorymoment.org. From the studios of KCAW in Sitka, Alaska, I'm Beth Shortroads. Whatever is on your dinner table tonight, may you savor the moment.
KTOO would like to acknowledge that we broadcast from the homelands of the Occoquan. The Clenady have stewarded this area for thousands of years. Today, our studios sit on a spot once part of the tidelands, now covered over with buildings, roads, and parking lots. We recognize those families who traveled to and from these tidelands to fishing and hunting grounds and to gatherings in other villages and still cherish it as an important part of their way of life for today and for future generations. You're listening to Juno Afternoon from Studio 2K at KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. I'm joined now by Dave Ringel, Executive Director, and Maureen Hall from St. Vincent de Paul, an organization that supports those in need in the community of Juno. And this week, they are working on bringing over 400 food baskets to folks. And you can help in a variety of ways. Gudith Chi, Shaye Adi, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to have you both here today. Wasi Iti, how's it going?
Good, good. And thank you for having us.
Of course. It's really nice to have you both here. So let's talk a little bit about the Thanksgiving baskets. I know that St. Vincent de Paul does all kinds of things. They help people who are in need for housing. You help people get back on their feet. There's all kinds of things you do. In this program specifically, the Thanksgiving baskets, tell us a little bit about that and how it got started, Dave.
This is one of those fun events. A lot of times we're dealing with people who are struggling and desperate. And this is one of those events where we match people who want to give with people who are in need. And yeah, I don't know when it started, but it's been around as long as I've been in the community, the last 25 years, where we gather food for Thanksgiving, organize meal baskets with the turkey or ham, the traditional Thanksgiving food, and then people sign up and we get volunteers to deliver the food baskets to the people that sign up this coming Saturday.
So it's like a massive three-part operation. There's those who can sign up, right?
Yeah, the sign-up is online, svdpjudo.org. Go to events, Thanksgiving basket, or call 789-5535, and our admin assistant will sign you up, and we'll accept entries up through the end of the day, Thursday, guaranteeing delivery. We seem to always have enough food to match those people in need, even if they sign up late, but there's no guarantee.
But it's nice to know sort of how many you need. And today is Wednesday, so you have until tomorrow. If you know someone or you yourself are in need, you can go to SVDP.
The initial St. Vincent de Paul.
St. Vincent de Paul, SVDPJuno.org. And you can sign up that way. Or as Dave said, you can call 789-5535. And that's between 9 and 4.
Correct.
Right? So you basically have till 4 p.m. tomorrow.
Yeah.
But you might be able to accept a late entry.
If we get late, people will try and fit them in the best they can. And it isn't always the person who signs themselves up. We were dealing with one person who was taking our food order at Super Bear a couple years ago. And she's like, yeah, somebody signed me up for it last year. Mm. And I didn't realize I needed it, but it really made the holidays better.
That's nice that you can actually sign someone else up for it, that may be, you know, too shy or you know, whatever might be the reason that they feel like they don't want to reach out and sign up for it. And then Maureen, we have the folks who are providing the food.
And that's something else that people can do as well, right?
Yeah, yeah. And the coordinator for that, Chris, has been, we have one generous donor in the community every year that puts in a big order of turkeys at one of our local grocery stores. And then we collect from the community all the makings for Thanksgiving dinner. And at this point, I think we're pretty good on that. But if people want to donate monetarily, that would be awesome. And that would give us the flexibility. If we're running low on yams, we can go purchase it.
We've had huge Gather Central Labor Council dropped off a huge delivery last weekend. Various churches have had boxes, and we've collected the boxes. We've got a list of everything that's collected. Anything that we need in addition now will have to be purchased. And so, right now a monetary donation would allow us to fill in the gaps where we don't have enough of a particular item.
Yeah, especially because we're coming up on it here. Yeah. Like it's coming up pretty quick. Mm-hmm. And then, so if you have the ability to donate monetarily, you can do that at the same website, right?
The website has a donation button on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you can go to svdpjuno.org and make a donation, and that's another way. But then if you can't afford to do that, there's another way, which is I think Maureen's job of how you can help out in this situation. So tell us a little bit about that, Maureen.
Yeah, so the past few years, definitely post-COVID, we've offered deliveries. We used to have a distribution center and people would come, ride the city bus, haul a frozen turkey back home with them. But now we have already over 40 teams signed up to deliver. So I think at this point, I think we're probably good for delivery teams, although people are welcome to back at that same website. There is a button to click on for helping out with the deliveries. And we could put you to work loading cars at our distribution center there at Teal Street. So
do you need volunteers who put the meals together?
We had a great, a few groups of youth groups that have come together. Yeah. I believe that was last night. Or no, it's happening.
No, on Thursday night, we have, I think, 3 youth groups.
Yeah.
We will set up an assembly line. We've got a lot of young, energetic teenagers.
You need that.
And, we provide the pizza and they provide the horsepower, the people power that gets all these 450 bags of food. It's a well-oiled machine now that the groups have contacted us. They'll show up. We'll be ready at 5:30 on Thursday. We'll start assembling baskets by 8 o'clock on Thursday. Night, we'll have all the baskets ready. We'll have one group of people from Mountain View Senior Center come and take all the meals to Mountain View Senior Center on Friday. Some of the big organizations will set up a place where they can get things. But we'll Saturday morning, we'll be ready, and we'll have a truck full of turkeys and pies and bags, and people come by. We load them up and send them on their way.
That's so good. I really like that. What a great community. It's a great way to get in the spirit, too, of this time of year. We should be doing this all year round, but obviously this time of year comes around and people get a little bit more warm in their heart, right? And they start thinking about others a little bit more.
And I've done some of the late deliveries as people miss. And, it's really sort of deep because people are really appreciative. And it's a way to see people and feel good about giving and feel good about the community as everybody pitches together to make Thanksgiving successful for everybody.
Yeah, and it's interesting because, there's a lot of different things around Thanksgiving, people's thoughts about that particular holiday, how it started, all that kind of stuff. But it has really become to mean something different than what it started as. And it has really become to mean getting together, of being together and helping others and being part of that tradition, right, in terms of reaching out and knowing. Because it's a big time of year. And it's one of those times where if you don't have the means – you really start to feel it. You know, you start to think, oh man, I can't afford that, or I don't know how to make a turkey, or I don't know how to, you know, I don't have the ability to do that. You mentioned that you're doing some to a senior center, so I'm imagining that, you know, maybe they've lost their folks that they would normally commune with on that day, and they don't have that ability.
Well, and it's gratitude is sort of a universal sign of a healthy lifestyle. Just be appreciate what you have, and we have the opportunity to give, but people are appreciating the opportunity to have the food so they can gather with their people. You know, Salvation Army will come, and for those people that don't have the means to cook anymore, they have meals that will allow people to go and have Thanksgiving with the community, and Salvation Army will talk about that tomorrow. But
they'll be on the show Friday, actually.
Or Friday.
Yeah,
okay.
Friday. They'll be here Friday.
And but it's sort of neat that we gather like that and we support one each other.
Yeah, that's really good. Yeah. So, Maureen, I'm curious, though, about how complicated is it to get all of this together? Like, how do you – is it the same volunteers coming back? Do you get new people coming each year? Like, and that's a – you're the coordinator of this volunteer effort, and I'm imagining that – it can be nerve-wracking at times to make sure that everything lines up as it should. Is there times where you're like, it's not going to happen? Or do you feel like, do you have like the good faith that you know what people are going to come through?
Well, a couple things this year. You know, Dave set up a Google form, so that helped immensely. You know, people could, and I just sent that out to the emails of all the folks that have helped in the past, and if they were available to help again, they went ahead and signed up. So that, you know, just a big old group email. And then we have a wonderful person working behind the scenes to group all the addresses around town into delivery routes. And so, you know, when a volunteer team, and we always have people go out in pairs. We don't want anyone doing this alone. So, you know, it's a great activity for friends or a family to...
One couple calls it their date night.
Yeah. And anyway, to come. But anyway, logistically, making, you know, we try to give our volunteer team a certain section of town. And some of them go back to the same section of town every year. And so, it's not as daunting as it seems, although I'm sure there's things that are being forgotten there's always gaps. There's a lot of moving pieces.
Yeah. It's a great reminder of what the community of Juneau does for each other. So one more time, I just want to make sure that we have the three means here. One is if you want to sign up to receive a meal, you can still do that through tomorrow at 4 o'clock.
Yes. Call 789-5535.
Yep.
Or go online to svdpjuno.org, click on events, Thanksgiving baskets.
There you go. And if you don't need necessarily any more food, what you want to do now is fill in the gaps for things that you may not have. So a monetary donation, if you're not in need and you have the means to give a donation, you can do that at the same website.
Same website.
And then volunteers, it might be sound like you're good, but if they want to reach out, they should reach out, right?
You know, at our distribution center, we might, you know, there's always plenty of work to be done loading up the cars and schlepping frozen turkeys and pies around.
So. Extra hands are never a bad thing,
that's
right?
That's right.
Because
that's
you can always just say, thanks, we're good, you can go on your merry way. But you might need people, and that's a good thing. It's the St. Vincent de Paul's, what do you call this event?
The Thanksgiving Food Basket distribution.
Distribution. Thanksgiving Food Drive. I love that. I love that. Food Basket, yeah. That's a wonderful thing. It happens every year. Thank you so much for coming in and telling us about it. And if you want to find out more information about everything that St. Vincent de Paul does, of course, most of us in the community know because we drop our stuff off at the thrift store. and that's a big thing that we love to do. But you can find out about everything that they do and what you're supporting by when you do drop off at the thrift store, what you're supporting when they sell those things and make some money on that and how they distribute that money and what they do with that money. And that's all at svdpjuno.org. Dave, Maureen, thank you so much for coming in and telling us all about it. Really appreciate it.
And thank you.
Gonna cheesh.
Our pleasure.
That will do it for today's Juno Afternoon. On tomorrow's show, a preview of the Alaska Design Forum's Friday presentation at the Gold Town. plus Spruce Root's next financial wellness class and a look ahead to next semester's offerings from the university. Juno Afternoon airs Wednesday through Friday at 3 p.m. right here on KTOO Juno 104.3 and KAUK Juno Auk Bay 91.7. Hello out the road. Find the show online at ktoo.org/JunoAfternoon, where you can listen to episodes, subscribe to the podcast, offer feedback or suggestions, or find out how to be a guest on the show. Our theme music is by Indian Agent. I'm Boston Christopher, producer and host of the program, with help today from DJ Thompson.